weekdays from 12:30 to 2 on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us. It's the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn on WISR, day after Election Day. Always a little anticlimactic, isn't it, after Election Day? Yeah. We have lots of guests lined up for you on the program today, starting with some open talk time, and we'll do that for a while. Phone number is 283-2525 if you have any comments on the election or the election results from yesterday. We'll be happy to talk about it. We have several guests later. We're going to be meeting Butler County's Veteran of the Year. His name is Roy Ramone, and he's going to be honored, a couple of times this weekend. There's a luncheon in his honor, and also he'll have a place of honor at the Veterans Day Parade, U.S. Navy veteran. So we'll be happy to meet Roy, and also John Cyprian will be with us later. He'll have details of the Veterans Day Parade, which is coming up Saturday. And I'm not sure whether there's any changes because, you know, usually it's on a weekday. It's a Saturday this year. We'll see. We'll get the details from John. A little bit later on the program, another chance to chat with New York Times best-selling author Karen Kingsbury. She is what's known as an inspirational novelist. In fact, Time magazine has called her the queen of the inspirational novelists. And she has a new book out. We'll talk to her about that. And also, our final guest on the program today, and it'll be around 1:45, and we're going to be chatting with Reverend Dennis Pethers. He's an Englishman, and he's touring the country. In fact, I think he's near the end of his tour across America. He's going to be speaking tonight at a local church, Oak Hills Christian, and had a chance to chat with him for a couple of minutes. Always nice to chat with people from other parts of the world, huh? Reverend Dennis Pethers. He'll be joining us along about 1:45 or so this afternoon. So that's our lineup of guests for the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn. What a lovely day it is. A little on the cool side, but boy, that sunshine makes it nice. Temperatures are already into the mid and upper 40s, depending on your location. And it's a heck of a lot better than it was yesterday. I don't think the weather was bad enough yesterday to affect the voter turnout. I mean, it was certainly a raw day. We never got out of the, actually struggled to get out of the mid and upper 30s. But there's been a lot worse weather on Election Day. I certainly didn't have any problem. Put a jacket on, you go out and you vote. Doesn't take that long. Still, we had about 24% voter turnout here in Butler County. In fact, it was just under 24%. So less than one quarter of the registered voters went to the polls yesterday. Turnout for municipal elections is typically very light, especially right after a presidential election. And by the way, the anniversary of that is today. Last year, Election Day was November 8th. This was the day that Donald Trump pulled the upset of the century in beating Hillary Clinton, 1 year ago today. But anyway, back to yesterday. Less than a quarter of the registered voters in Butler County went to the polls. We will have a new mayor in the city of Butler, Ben Smith, a local businessman, winning quite handily, actually. He took an early lead as the votes began to be tallied last night, and that was right around 9 o'clock. Shortly thereafter, we saw the first returns coming in from the Bureau of Elections. And Smith held that lead throughout. And he ended up garnering 60% of the vote. So he won pretty handily over Jamie Lee Gearing, who got 34.5% of the vote. I don't know, folks. I don't know whether I've ever heard a more gracious winner or a more gracious loser than these two candidates in the mayoral race. Obviously, they're two different parties. Ben Smith is a Republican. Jamie Lee Gearing is a Democrat. But Ben Smith, we talked with him last night on our election return coverage, and he had nothing but good things to say about Jamie Lee Gearing. I had asked him about how the campaign was run. It seemed to be pretty clean to me, and he went on to say it was an extremely clean campaign. No dirty tricks, no nasty attack ads or anything like that. Jamie Lee Gearing, very gracious in defeat, urging everyone to stand behind Ben. It just struck me, in this day and age of everybody being so polarized and so nasty, how refreshing was that to see the reaction and the response from those two candidates? I thought it was terrific. You kind of wish that it would happen like that a little more often, I think. Yeah. By the way, Tom Donaldson, the incumbent mayor who lost in the primary in the spring to Ben Smith, mounted a write-in campaign, but there were only 113 write-in votes, and we don't know at this point how many of them were for Donaldson. We just have the total number of write-ins, 113. Ben Smith ended up with almost 1,300 votes, just under 1,300. Jamie Lee Gearing had about 740. So that race is over. The two seats on city council go to Ken Bonus. Kenny Bonus is an incumbent. He was appointed to Butler City Council to serve out the term of Rick Shantz. Rick Shantz was a veteran public servant. He had to resign from council because of family matter. He had to move out of the city. And Kenny Bonus was appointed last year, and now he's been elected to a term on his own, along with Jeff Smith, who was a former city treasurer. So they'll be the two winners in the Butler City Council race. And hats off to Kathy Klein, a veteran councilwoman in the city of Butler. She was seeking her fourth consecutive term, unsuccessful last night, but a long period, 12 years of public service. So hats off to her. Election results from yesterday. So we'll see what happens. You know, you never expect miracles when a new group of public officials take office. There are things that have to be done. In fact, the only person that promised miracles was Donald Trump. As I recall, he promised on day one he would sign papers eliminating Obamacare. Well, that went by the boards, didn't it? Yeah. A little bit of an overreach, I would think, there for the president, who is in Asia on by far his longest presidential trip. It's 12 days, I think. Almost 2 weeks he's going to be in Asia. He's in China right now. And still tweeting, by the way. From China, even though Twitter is illegal in China. It's not allowed there in their society, but I guess the Secret Service made special arrangements so that Trump could still tweet while he's in China. Phone number is 283-2525. Open talk on the It's Your Turn program today. 283-2525. By the way, the voter turnout, although, you know, under a quarter, under 25% of the registered voters going to the polls. Actually, that's a little higher than most of the predictions, because this is traditionally a low turnout election, municipal election. If you want proof of just how much one vote can count, in Brady Township, these are unofficial numbers, but in Brady Township, one candidate won a seat on the Board of Supervisors by one vote last night. One vote difference between the two candidates. So if you don't think your vote counts, 283-2525 is our number. Open talk on the first portion of the It's Your Turn program today. I happened upon, I got to be honest with you, I was cleaning off some shelves back at my desk within the past couple of days, and I came across this booklet. It is it's kind of a history, almost a thumbnail history of Butler County from the late 1800s up to 1940. So, you know, it goes back a long ways, 1940. It's a fascinating piece, though. It's more like a, I don't know, a large pamphlet or a small paperback. And it's almost headlines as opposed to in-depth stories. Kind of headline, but, you know, they have dates and everything. Fascinating to look through this. What was I reading just yesterday? And I had to stop because we were of all of the election activities. Oh, the First World War touches Butler County. And see if you have the same reaction as I did when you hear this sentence. They bought property for the new YMCA the summer of... No, it's not the current YMCA. It's the old YMCA. They bought property for it in the summer of 1912. It opened up a couple of years later on McCain Street, the Y. It's now the Butler Cubs Hall. How much did it cost when they built it back in 1912? $150,000 total cost. That included swimming pool, too. There was a swimming pool, and I think there still is. And as you just read down some of these headlines, you know, and suddenly you go, oh, yeah. July 20th of that year, 1912, Butler County mourned the death of the Honorable Thomas W. Phillips. Did you ever wonder where T.W. Phillips came from? T.W. Phillips? Yeah, Thomas W. Phillips. And they had a lot of fires back in those days. Wow. Just reading through a few months in that year. It was a bad fire in Parker that made the headlines. There was a bad fire in Kaler. 24 homes burned in Kaler. That's a little, almost a village outside of Brady's Bend. They had a bad fire in Petrolia. Of course, you know, back in those days, all the homes were wood frame, you know. Once a fire started, pretty tough to put it out. I plan to go through this book in some detail because there's lots of interesting things that I wanted to share with you in here, including, I have to talk to a local historian, Bill May, about this one. It was a theater fire, a theater that burned down, the Lyric Theater in Butler. I never heard of that one. You know, there's the Majestic, the Penn, the Butler, and what was the other one? Capitol Theater. I didn't know about the Lyric. It burned in March of 1914. Burned to the ground. Wow. So I'll keep you posted on that. And what frustrates me most of all is I don't know where this book came from. I'm guessing that someone dropped it off for me. But I don't have any contact information, and I certainly wouldn't want to steal it if someone just intended for me to borrow it and peruse it. So I'll do my best. I'll keep you posted on that. Listen, we have some guests, I think, that have already arrived here today. So what we're going to do is take a break. Don't want to keep them waiting out in the lobby. We'll bring them in and chat with them. They include the Butler County's Veteran of the Year, and also the director of Butler County Veteran Services, John Cyprian. So we'll bring them in here in just a moment or so, and we'll chat with them about activities that are coming up this weekend as we celebrate Veterans Day. Veterans Day weekend coming up. You're listening to It's Your Turn here on WISR. Stick around. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
I can't remember the last time I went to the dentist. Now I'm too embarrassed to go because my teeth are in such bad condition.
Unfortunately, this person is not alone. Many folks put off going to the dentist because they fear being scolded for neglecting their teeth. This is Dr. Bob Todd with a special message. Dentistry today is faster, easier, and better than ever before. At our dental office, we don't believe in making you feel guilty, no matter how long it has been since you've seen a dentist. We know fear and embarrassment can cause a cycle of procrastination. If it has been years since you've been to the dentist, call us today. We will help put your mind at ease and bring your smile back to health.
If you hate going to the dentist but know you have a dental problem, help is only a phone call away. Dr. Bob Todd and his friendly dental team will answer all your questions and care for all your concerns. For complimentary information or to schedule an appointment at their Butler office on Evan City Road, please call 282-7774 or on the web at butlersmiles.com.
Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way, getting there stops here. Just hop the bus, easy and economical. Just hop the bus, no car, no problem, the bus will get you there. 'Cause that's what we do. Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way.
Welcome back, good friends. Nice to have you with us on the It's Your Turn program today. And nice to say hello to our initial guests on the program today. John Cyprian is here in the studio with us. John is the director of Butler County Veterans Services. John, it's always good to shake your hand, my friend. Nice to have you here today.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for having us again. I can't believe we're here already in 2017 already.
I know. And nearing the end, actually.
Right.
Heading into the second week of November as of today.
All right.
Also visiting with us here in the studio is Butler County's Veteran of the Year, Roy Ramone. Roy, nice to have you here as well.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you and to be able to talk to you about your service. And there'll be some special honors for you as we head into Veterans Day weekend, right?
Yes, sir. I'm very humbled. So I'm just it's just remarkable to be honored this way.
Now, there's a luncheon this weekend, is that right?
Oh, Dave, we got a full-packed Saturday, being that Veterans Day is on Saturday. So, yeah, we'll have our luncheon. Normally it's at noon, but we're going to festivities will kick off at 4 p.m.
I was wondering if there had to be some changes because Veterans Day typically is during the week.
Right.
And usually the luncheon honoring the Veteran of the Year is then the following Saturday.
Correct.
They both coincide this year, on Saturday.
It's an action-packed day, and I tell you what, hats off to the committee. You know, they're going to be running around making sacrifices with their families and everything else to make sure that, you know, Butler County does a great celebration for our veterans this year. So,
now, what about the parade? Because I've had calls from people wondering if there's going to be one. And I said, oh, yes, don't worry about that. But time changes are pretty much the same schedule, even though the parade's going to be on a Saturday.
So, yeah, time's still going to stay the same. 10:40 is going to be the kickoff. It'll run north to south, so coming towards the courthouse for Veterans Day. Oh my God, if we don't have a parade in Butler County, I'm leaving because I will be lynched and ran up a flagpole someplace. But, yeah, parade is still on Saturday. It's always on Veterans Day. Unless Veterans Day falls on Sunday, then we celebrate on Monday.
Mm-hmm. I was telling some folks this morning, it looks like it might be a little bit chilly, but we've dealt with that already, like this morning, for example. But I think that's a wonderful opportunity. There are some folks who can't get to a Veterans Day parade when it's during the week, because not everybody has off on Veterans Day. Most schools, I think all schools are off, government employees are off, but a lot of folks have to go to work.
Yep.
And they would love to come and honor the veterans by standing and watching them march by, but they can't do it. So I'm just hoping that the weather, if it does indeed turn out to be chilly, doesn't scare people off. I'd like to see a huge crowd there on Saturday morning.
I hope so. And just so we know that if it's a chilly, I mean, Roy's in charge of the weather. So so that was his one task as Veteran of the Year. So if it's bad weather, blame Roy. If it's good weather, I'll take it. No, I'm kidding.
Guaranteed at least 24 degrees, no rain.
Wow, can't beat that. I've been to some Veterans Day parades that it can be pretty raw. I've been to some where the snow is coming in sideways and we marched on. But, you know what I think of? I think of the guys in the 101st Airborne in the Ardennes Forest in the Battle of the Bulge.
Yep.
They were there for weeks, and they didn't have any winter uniforms or anything like that. And they were freezing to death. Their toes were falling off. I can put up with a few snow flurries while I'm watching the parade.
I have a lot of clients that were in Korea during the Chosin River, and boy, you know what? I'll suck it up just for that. I'm going to suck it up because I don't want one of those guys coming back. Oh, you know, we did this in Korea.
I need to, that's a good point, John. I need to get a little more knowledgeable on Korea. I'm not terribly well read there. I do know, from seeing some documentaries and even a couple of films, that there were times during the Korean War that it was brutally cold.
It was
in Korea.
Most frostbite injuries in Korea than any other war or conflict come out of there. And it was brutal cold. You could put your hand in what's that ice I'm thinking of?
Liquid nitrogen
or whatever, it still probably wouldn't be cold enough for what these guys went through in there. But there's a good book I can lend you, Dave. One of our clients, and God rest his soul, he passed away, Andy Kovacs, wrote a book about his time on the Chosin River. And his wife, Patricia, God bless her soul as well, but she painted the cover of it. And if you're in my office, she gave me the actual painting.
Wow.
That was on the front cover of the book, or in the book. So, and he wrote about it, and I'll be happy to get
it. I'd love
to
borrow it.
Yes, sir.
I will guard it. I'm a book lover, so you'll get it back in pristine condition.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'd like to learn a little bit more about that. Well, enough at least for the moment about Korea. I always mention it because there are so many Korean vets that I've talked to. You know, it's been termed the Forgotten War.
Right.
And it's not in any way to diminish World War II veterans or later veterans, but Korea came pretty quickly after World War II. World War II ended in 1945, and the Korean War was started by 1950. So
49, it picked up 49 there, and a lot of the World War II guys actually served during Korea.
Both, yeah.
As well, and they call it that because Congress never declared war. So, but you ask those guys if it was war, and you ask Vietnam guys if it was war, you're darn right that was war.
You're right. There was never a formal declaration of war by Congress in Korea.
Correct.
It was called a conflict.
It was called the conflict, just like Vietnam called a conflict, Persian Gulf conflict. So the last declaration of war was World War II, even though we're talking Persian Gulf, OEF, OIF, and all that.
Yeah, there's been some debate about that. In fact, just recently, some members of Congress are saying maybe we ought to go back and look at this rather than just leave one guy, the president, whoever it may be, take us into these conflicts. Maybe Congress ought to buckle up and take a vote whenever we're going to do this. You know,
that's why the Marines they fall under the jurisdiction of the president. They don't have a secretary. Their secretary is under the United States Navy. So the president can utilize the Marines to move troops around in that way. But that's the reason for it.
I always learn a lot of stuff whenever I'm talking to you, John. Speaking of the U.S. Navy, the Butler County Veteran of the Year,
Roy
Marona, is a Navy veteran, right, Roy?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. I actually served from 80 to 84, active duty. I served on three different ships over in Italy. That was the greatest ship to be on, you know, out in the Mediterranean Sea.
No snow out there, I don't think.
I think it rained 3 days out of the whole 2 years I was there. It was beautiful. I'm a shipboard barber, a ship serviceman. I ran the Gedunk stores, you know, Gedunk. If you're not in the Navy,
I don't know what that is.
No, I'm an Army guy, so I don't know.
That's your cigarettes and candy bars and snacks and stuff like that.
Kind of like a convenience store on the ship, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, I was a ship serviceman, and I served 2 years over in Italy, and then I served a year out in San Francisco on an ammunition ship. The ship I was on in Italy was a subtender. Mm-hmm. So we usually never left the pier except for once or twice a month just
to
get it.
Subs would come into the harbor and to restock and so on and so
forth. Repairs, restock, upgrade. So they'd just come in there, and then
you say this was in the early '80s, Roy?
Yes.
So would we still have had diesel subs then, or had they all been retired?
Yes,
we did.
Yes, that was during the transition of going into the nuclear submarines. We actually had a few nuclear submarines come in, but most of them were diesel.
The diesels needed a lot more tender, loving care, especially toward the end of their lives. First of all, they needed refueled, where the nuclear subs hardly ever did.
Right.
And the diesel submarines could only stay submerged for so long. Had to come back up to the surface to get fresh air and so on. That was a... I tell you what, anybody that paints bridges, I have great admiration for, and anybody that was a submariner, that was in the submarines, I have, because I know I couldn't have done it. I'd go berserk.
Yeah, actually, whenever I first enlisted, I wanted to go on sub duty, but apparently they have a height limit.
You didn't meet that.
I didn't meet that height requirement.
For those of you listening on the radio and not watching us on TV, Roy is he's pretty tall. He could play center on anybody's basketball team. These are things that I'm enjoying talking to you, Roy. I never thought about that.
Right.
That there would be a height limitation on a submarine. Now, there are other limitations. In some portions of the military, you can't be too short.
Right.
But in a submarine, you can't be too tall.
Pilots, you can't be too tall.
Yeah, I think the height limit was 5'10 or something like that, so that's a couple of inches over.
Mm-hmm. A foot and a half over.
Now, had you already gone to barbering school, or did the Navy train you to do that?
The Navy sent me to barber school after I was over in Italy. Whenever I left Italy to come back to the stateside, I went to San Diego for a couple months for sea trade.
Mm-hmm. See, these are something that I'd never thought about before. When you're deployed, sometimes for long periods of time, there are things that have to be taken care of. You got to get your hair cut every once in a while. You need dental work or something like that. So you need all of these specialists on board.
Right. And especially if you have to go up and see the captain or something, you always want a clean cut.
Want to be ship-shaped, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want your department officer sending you down for a haircut because I got where I have to cut your hair to a certain regs if you're sent to me. So,
are there any prohibitions against facial hair in the Navy? Can you have a beard or a mustache?
No, not right now, but whenever I was in, yes. If you were E4 and above, you were allowed to have facial hair. But I believe it was in 86 that they cut that out because of the respirators.
Mm-hmm.
So it was in 86 they stayed clean shaved.
Well, that makes sense. I know first responders, hazmat guys, firefighters, they have that restriction, and it's because of the self-contained breathing apparatus.
Right.
That stuff doesn't fit right if you got a beard.
Well, it won't seal.
Yeah. It won't seal. You might as well not have it on.
Right.
Yeah, well, that was one of the reasons I got out of the reserves in 1986, because they told me I had to shave my goatee and my mustache off, and I was like, no.
In addition to being tall, Roy also has some very attractive facial hair there. A good goatee and a good mustache. So you served in Italy. You know, that was on one ship?
Yes.
Then in San Francisco, you on a different ship. Did you say it was a munitions ship?
It was an ammunition ship. We never seen port. We're always at sea.
Uh-huh.
It was the USS Flint, A-32, now decommissioned. Mm-hmm. And then in the reserves, I was on a fast frigate, which is now decommissioned also. So I guess I'm getting old. So,
what's an ammunition ship? Just carries ammunition to other ships, like to cruisers and destroyers and stuff like that?
Right. Whenever, like, say an aircraft carrier is going to be coming into port,
okay,
they have to offload all their ammunition So they would offload it onto our ship. They would go in and have a good time. And then when they got done trying to get sobered up to come back out, we would load them back up.
Wasn't that fascinating? I never knew that.
And then we also did fuel, oil.
So I'm thinking right away here, this is a pretty dangerous ship to be on if you're carrying fuel and ammunition, for goodness sake.
Yeah, we used to say, where the general quarters, they say brace for shock. Well, mm-hmm. We always put our head between our knees to kiss our butts goodbye.
This could be the end, huh?
Yeah.
How big a ship was this, the munition ship, for example? I'm not talking about how many feet, whatever, but did it have a large crew?
Somewhere around 450, I believe it was. Yeah.
Wow. And that pales in comparison to what an aircraft carrier might have, right?
Aircraft carrier is
5,000.
Yeah, a few thousand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of the things I want to do sometime in life is to, and I'm sure there are places, I don't know, down at Newport News or somewhere where you can at least get on board an aircraft carrier. I mean, you're not going to see all the secret nooks and crannies, but there must be a couple somewhere where you're allowed to get on board.
They do have some cruises that you could take.
I don't want to go out to sea. I just want to get on there, you know, and see how big it is. You know, monstrous.
Let it start rocking.
Yeah, we can skip the rocking too. As a matter of fact,
well, it'd have to be pretty rough for an aircraft carrier to start rocking. Mm-hmm. But they do have those cruises where Tiger Cruises they're called mm-hmm. That you could go out for 3 or 4 days, you know, on a cruise ship.
Now the sub tender. Let me get back to that. When you were in Italy, would that have been a smaller ship, a smaller crew?
No, actually, it was a little bit larger.
Oh, really?
Yes, because of all the services that we had to do to the submarines, or actually any ship that needed to be alongside a tender mm-hmm. for repairs. Yes.
Were you in pretty much the same port in Italy the whole time you were over there?
Yeah, I was in La Maddalena, Sardinia.
Oh, okay, one of the islands off the coast of Italy.
Yeah, actually, there's a little coast, a little tiny island that we shared with the Italian army. But we had Peru on one side, you had Sardinia on the other side.
Hmm.
But that was a great experience for me. I was fairly young, so
be in Italy, huh?
I had a good time.
Now, I believe I heard you correctly, you had a third deployment on another ship?
Yes, in my reserves, I did a deployment on the USS Gray. It's a FF 1045, I believe.
That's a fast frigate.
Fast frigate.
I need help there, Roy. I have no idea what that is.
It was a Navy speedboat. Okay. Actually, it was a ship. It had about, I'd say about 200 crewmen. It was mostly surface-to-air missiles. And
so it would be able to be deployed more rapidly to destinations
yes.
if the need arose,
yes.
as opposed to, I imagine it takes a while to get an aircraft carrier up to speed.
Well, I'm wondering, does it have an escort that goes with it?
The aircraft carrier always has an escort.
Okay.
Always has an escort because of the smaller ships are less money and they could take out a torpedo if it was shot at an aircraft carrier.
Yeah, avoided hitting the aircraft carrier. So were you always at sea when you were on the fast frigate or?
No, actually that was my reserve time. So I did I did my 1 month year on it. And then during the one weekend a month thing, I would just be going to the Oakland Naval Station, and mm-hmm. we would be doing stuff at the Naval Oakland Station.
We're talking, listeners, if you joined us a little bit late, with Roy Ramon. He is Butler County's Veteran of the Year. He'll be honored at a luncheon/dinner, a late luncheon, early dinner this Saturday. They had to do some adjustments of time because the Veterans Day Parade will be the same day as the luncheon dinner honoring the Veteran of the Year. And he, I'm assuming, will have a place of honor at the parade, too, John Cyprian.
Oh, right? Absolutely. He's our kind of like our parade marshal, and he's already been trying to work out the details of where he wants to be at in the parade. And sometimes I said no, sometimes I said yeah. No, you're not going to do that, Roy. Yeah, okay, you're going to do that. But
I want to talk a little bit more with Roy. Folks, there's more than just being in active duty or being in the service to being selected to Butler County Veteran of the Year, and I don't want to give that short shrift, so we'll talk about that when we come back. One of our sponsors on the program today is Gone Postal Butler. And this is a very convenient business, especially as we're approaching holiday time. Gone Postal Butler, they're on Newcastle Road, just off Newcastle Road behind the Kings and Villa Grande there. What do? They package your items for shipping. Now, that can be convenient if you got one box. I mean, I don't know about you. I'm always hunting for the brown wrapping paper, the super strong tape, and the mailing labels and all that stuff. Ethel, do we have any of those mailing labels? You can take it to Gone Postal. But think, if you're mailing holiday gifts or something, you got a bunch of packages. Wow, convenient. You can ship it any way you want when you take it to Gone Postal. FedEx, UPS, U.S. Postal Service, your choice. They have other services too, copying, scanning, faxing. You can rent a mailbox there temporarily. They have custom boxes, greeting cards, an official notary. Sometimes you need that when you're sending something out. And you can even grab a lottery ticket too. 140 Shockey Lane, they're in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex. It's right behind Kings and Villa Grande there off Newcastle Road. Phone number, if you want more info on their services, 724-841-0044. Gone Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center. Gone Postal Butler. Stick around. We'll be back to talk more with John and with Roy here on It's Your Turn right after these words.
Whether you're a backyard car fixer-upper or an auto repair shop, Millich Auto Wrecking is still the place to go for new and used auto and truck parts. They have been for over 40 years. And compared to factory prices, you'll save big bucks. Millich Auto Wrecking is neatly organized and will tell you immediately if they have the part or not. Open Monday through Thursday, 9 to 5, it's Millich Auto Wrecking, Route 38, the Oneida Valley Road. Look for the big black and red sign. Stop by or call 287-1001. And yes, old Uncle Fred still goes to Millich.
Good friends, guests with us here in the studio today as we lead up to Veterans Day weekend. We're going to have some other special programming for you, too. Friday, the day before Veterans Day. Obviously, we're not going to be here with an It's Your Turn program on Saturday. John Cyprian is here. John is the director of Butler County Veteran Services. Roy Ramone is here. He is Butler County's Veteran of the Year. We've talked about his military service in the U.S. Navy, three different deployments, including one when he was in the reserves. Let's talk a little bit about the other component of being honored as Butler County's Veteran of the Year. John Cyprian, there is another very important component, is there not?
Oh, it's a huge component of it. It's probably made up of three quarters of what gets you as Veteran of the Year. As you know, as we always stated, that your time in the military, your service to our country counts. It gets your foot in the door. But as we always say, you know, you're not done serving your community. So we always look and see what you've given back to your community as well, and that's what really hits home and gets you the Veteran of the Year. And Roy has done a great job. He's he's involved in everything. I didn't like him in the beginning. He probably didn't care too much for me either, but he's a very respectable man. But no, I'm kidding.
Everybody's laughing here, yeah. Folks, so just want to make sure you get the joke there.
Because he's in everything. He's involved in everything. I mean, I can't go to Harrisburg without seeing Roy there, doing something to try to bring back home to Butler for the programs that he's involved with. I mean, it's like we go to Harrisburg, we have a couple dinners out there in Harrisburg, and he's doing his thing over there, and I'm doing my thing for the county over here.
What have you become involved in organizations, Roy, or just individual initiative? Or
I'm actually been blessed with a few different organizations. Back in 2013, I was asked to start a veterans friendship program with the Compere Corps, called Compere Corps, as part of the Compere program here in Butler, to connect veterans with veterans. with mental health, in mental health recovery. So that right there was just the door flying open for me. I also involved a lot with the SAMHSA and SMBF suicide prevention for training and stuff for peer specialists statewide. And then also I'm part of the LHOT committee here in Butler, local housing option team, homeless veterans and homelessness. In 2011, I was actually a homeless veteran, and a nice elderly couple, the Hambleys, they helped me out with some furniture to furnish an apartment. And so that was just me giving back, working with the Hambleys, wow, with the furniture warehouse, picking up donations and stuff, and trying to keep the warehouse full.
Your work with the suicide awareness and prevention, is that focused mainly on veterans or the general population? I know, tragically, we still have a very high number of veterans who are committing suicide, after, especially after returning from the Middle East. And the VA is aware of this, but it's a shockingly high number.
Yeah, well, actually, the number has dropped in the last couple of years. It used to be 22 veterans a day. Today it's down to 20 veterans a day, which the number is still high, but it's on a downward skid there.
Glad to hear that.
That's one thing with the Compere Corps is, and working with the Hamleys and working with the SFVF and the HUD-VASH out of the VA, is they're putting these veterans into apartments and stuff. Well, the Compere Corps comes in to get them out of their isolation, get them back in the community, have them doing stuff. In 2016, we started our Veterans Nights Out, where it's veterans from the community and veterans in the program getting together at a different agenda somewhere in the community. So just trying to get them back out and out of their isolation, because isolation is the number one thing for suicide.
It can also lead to problems with alcohol abuse as well, when you are isolated or you feel isolated.
Right. Well, with the alcohol and drug abuse, that goes along with self-medicating for your PTSD, or if you have a mental health diagnosis, it's the self-medicating part of it. So I went through that myself with my TBI. So I'm just giving back. That's all I'm doing.
You mentioned one other thing I'd like to expand on a little bit, and I tried to take a note here, but I don't think I got it correctly. A veterans friendship program, did you say?
Yeah, it's the Compere Corps. What it is, it's I connect veterans from the community with veterans in recovery with mental health or drug and alcohol in a one-on-one friendship, where they'll go and visit with this veteran 1 hour a week or 4 hours a month. I'm telling you right now, it's usually a lot more than just that. Just having that veteran to have somebody that he could talk to, because
and relate to. I mean, yeah, they've been there, they've done that,
right?
You know, whereas someone who wasn't there wouldn't be able to relate as easily, for sure.
Right. Huh. And then there's a whole bunch I'm involved in. It's like, I got married in June, just tried to slow me down a little bit, have somebody tell me to slow down, but if she's listening right now, she knows it isn't working, so.
Well, if you look back through the list of past Butler County Veterans of the Year, and John has kindly supplied me with a list, you know, Roy, that you are joining a very prestigious group here. They like to say that the U.S. Senate is the most exclusive club in the world. Well, this is a pretty good one right here when you look back. And I was blessed to know some of these guys, some of them who are not here anymore, not with us anymore. There it jumps out at me, Ted Sankey. Now, there's a guy who served in both World War II and Korea. I know that he did.
And Vietnam.
And Vietnam.
He used to come in the office all the time and say, I served in all the wars. And I said, oh, revolutionary. I miss Mr. Sankey. He was a good man. Yeah, I do too.
I don't want to start reading through names.
No, I miss them all. They're all great
they're
guys.
They're all
great people.
I just look at some of them that I used to talk to every year.
Yep.
And we're active in planning the Butler County Veterans Committee parades. Norm Reddick on the list there. And some of the more recent guys. Bob Ripper become a good friend of mine. He was just a Veteran of the Year a couple of years ago. Last year, Ron Huff. Sam Zorzolo was just elected, re-elected to another term on the Butler Township Board of Commissioners.
He's asking for a headache.
And all these other names. It must really humble you, Roy, to look at that list.
I am.
And know that you're the next name that's going to go on there.
Yes. And hopefully there's a few years down the road before I get an asterisk at the behind of it, too. So.
Hope so.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure, thanks for sharing so much of your, sometimes that's not easy to do, especially with a modest person, man. It's difficult.
And that tells you right there.
You did a good job, Roy. We know a little bit more about you, but. And I know I didn't mean to put you on the spot there. So we've got what else happens? We've got the parade on. Is that the first thing on Saturday, John?
Oh no, sir. No. We start out at 9 a.m. at the VA Medical Center Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. So we got the whole action-packed day going on. So 9 a.m. at the old VA at the CLC Center. We'll start out at 9 a.m. there.
Mm-hmm.
And the committee will go and put wreaths around the different memorials down at the Doughboy Park and up at the Diamond Park. They'll put the wreaths on those memorials, recognizing them and thanking them for their service in past years. Then we have the parade. And then after the parade, we'll have our celebration for Roy at 4 p.m. So we got a full day.
You're going to be all tuckered out, Roy, by the end of the day.
Right, and then we have after that the veterans concert out at 97.7 Rockdown Right
yes,
Tour.
Yes. part of the Rockdown Right Tour.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to go out there for that.
You might need a little rock after that long day.
No, I'm just glutton for punishment.
Well, the Butler County Veteran of the Year program is a wonderful program, and it dates back now all the way to 1979, right?
1979. And you know what? We're proud of that because for years, and I think that's up until 2015, we were the only county that did that program. Mm-hmm. And I believe Armstrong County has implemented the same program that we're trying to, and I think they had one success run at it. So it's basically a Butler County born program.
So,
well, yes, John also is being a little shy here because we got a certificate from Butler County. I'll let him explain it.
Every year, the Department of Veterans Affairs recognizes a regional site for those communities that stay kind of true and blue to what the celebrations are and everything else of that nature. And again, this year, Butler County was chosen that regional site from Washington, D.C. So we know they know what we do in Washington, mm-hmm. D.C. for that. And for 2 years in a row, but this year we share that with Schuylkill County. So there's only two counties in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania that have been recognized for what they do in the community. And it's not because of John Cyprian, believe me. It's because of people like Roy and the rest of the committee that do what they do for Butler County. And so we're very proud of that. I'm very proud of that committee.
It's a good honor.
It's a great honor.
Nice to be recognized, especially by people from far away.
Absolutely. It just goes to show you never know who's watching.
That's right. Hey, guys, thanks for stopping in today. John Cyprian, always good to talk with him. Yes, there will be a parade on Saturday, Veterans Day. And Roy Ramon, thanks so much for sharing your story with us, Navy veteran, and I think I speak for all of our listeners when I say thank you for your service, Roy.
Thank you.
And congratulations on being honored as Butler County Veteran of the Year. More to come. We're going to chat for a few minutes with novelist Karen Kingsbury coming up next. She is a She's an inspirational novelist. You may have seen her. She's been on TV, written a ton of books. She's got a new one out in paperback. And also our final guest coming up later still on the program, we'll chat with Reverend Dennis Peters. He is a clergyman from England. England. And I happened to find out that he was passing through town, and you know I like to grab people
Absolutely.
That are passing through town, so we'll chat with him probably around 1:45 or so this afternoon. Okay, take a break and then be back to talk with Karen Kingsbury next here on It's Your Turn on WISR, back after these words.
Looking for a way to make your company's benefit package a little more competitive? Here's one that's so easy, more than 130 local organizations and businesses have added it to their programs. Membership in Armco Credit Union. At Armco Credit Union, your employees will have access to the best loan rates and more free banking services, while direct deposit and payroll deduction options make it convenient for both of you. And best of all, it doesn't cost you a thing. Learn more at armcocu.com or by calling 284-2020. Armco Credit Union is an equal opportunity lender and is insured by NCUA.
Does your pharmacy tell you your wait time for a prescription will take a half an hour or longer, or maybe won't even be ready until the next day? Don't think this is your only option. At Institute Hill Pharmacy, we have made it a priority to take care of our customers' needs first, because your time is precious. Most wait times are under 10 minutes. So don't you think it's time to make a switch to Institute Hill Pharmacy, located at 937 East Jefferson Street, or find us on Facebook, Institute Hill Pharmacy, an old-fashioned pharmacy just the way you remember.
Listeners, we have another chance, a wonderful chance, to talk again with New York Times best-selling author Karen Kingsbury, who joins us here on the It's Your Turn program on WISR this segment. My name is Dave Malarkey. Hi, Karen. Nice to talk to you again.
Hi there. Good talking to you, too.
We first met you, I don't remember exactly when, maybe within the past year. You are a prolific writer, and you have a new Baxter family novel that's just out. What's the title, Karen?
In This Moment. That's the title.
Mm-hmm. And this makes how many? I don't know. Do you have a count on the Baxter family novels at this point? I know there's a bunch of them.
Well, there are a lot of them. I mean, I really don't even know. It's got to be pushing 30 books now. But these recent titles, including In This Moment, really are standalone, so that someone can come in and just start here. The Baxters have taken a back seat. They are more the setting, the peripheral. This story involves a lawyer, and when my character needed a lawyer, he's going to ask Luke Baxter. So that's kind of how the Baxter family is involved, but it's not really a series at this point. We're going to give people a break and let them just step in.
A little bit, listeners, about Karen Kingsbury. Many of you will know of her. Maybe you feel that you know her if you've read a bunch of her books. She's also been on TV quite a bit. I know you were on the Today Show not too long ago, right?
That's true, yes. That was exciting.
And Time Magazine has called Karen Kingsbury the queen of inspirational fiction. Well, let's talk a little bit about that description of your genre, inspirational fiction. Do you agree with that, Karen? Is that okay with you?
I do. I think that's actually a pretty good moniker for this genre, that inspirational, we actually, in the office, we call it life-changing fiction because of the letters that we get from people,
mm-hmm.
You know, saying that they were having a hard time in a relationship, or they were, you know, to turn their back on God, or they were in a dark place in their work or in their family life, or just struggling in a relationship. And then they read a novel, and to think that a novel would touch their hearts, you know, in such a way that it would change their lives. It's really more than I could ever do. And so, you know, it's exciting to see the impact.
Karen is also an adjunct professor of writing at Liberty University. We'll talk a little bit more about that later in our conversation. But first of all, about her latest book, In This Moment. And Karen, when I say latest, I mean it's like just out, right, within the past couple of weeks?
Absolutely, just this week. So, you know, super exciting. Just came out Tuesday, and we are, you know, it's available everywhere, so we're excited to tell readers. They can go to my website, KarenKingsbury.com, and find out exactly where they can find it, but it's really all stores, anywhere books are sold. So, yeah, it's very exciting, and this one's a little different. It's a real passion project, so I'm excited about it.
Well, the main, and I hesitate to try to categorize your your theme in just a couple of words, but if pressed, I would say you discuss at some length the issue of religious freedom in this novel. Would I be okay with that description?
Absolutely. This book is it's about a man, a principal of an inner-city school that's very troubled and has a record of very high gang violence, suicide, drug abuse, the test scores are low, depression is high. And this principal, Wendell Quinn, decides that he can't take watching his students fail like this and struggle and succumb to so much darkness. And so he starts an after-school voluntary Bible study program, and he calls it Raise the Bar. And that's what he's trying to do, is help these students. But it works. It works initially, and there's some lives that are just being changed, some tear-jerker scenes that you just go, oh, my goodness, these students are really changing. And then one of their fathers files a lawsuit and says, you know, can't talk about God in school, nowhere, no time, no place for that, even voluntarily. And now Wendell Quinn he's at risk of losing everything. His job, his family is concerned about him. The woman that he loved has walked away because she can't take the pressure and the anxiety of it. And he's kind of standing there, just him and God, and the truth that he's researched and found what the founding fathers had to say about the First Amendment, and he needs a lawyer, so that's when he reaches out for Luke Baxter.
Fortunately, one of the Baxter family is available. Although
they are.
I'm not sure, because this is a, you know, in the course of your novel, this is a controversial issue. Does Luke Baxter readily agree to take the case, or does he puzzle over it for a while?
He doesn't really puzzle over it because he's now become sort of a lawyer that handles religious freedom type cases. But he feels that, you know, really, based on precedent, Wendell Quinn probably doesn't have a leg to stand on, that as a school employee, it really isn't up to him to lead even a voluntary program at the school, even after school, as this is the case. But, you know, he's convicted of his own stance, his own beliefs, and he says, okay, there's not precedent that we can win this case, but somebody has to make precedent. Someone has to set it. And so he decides to take on the case, even though he knows only God is going to, you know, God alone will get them to a victory on the other end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the thing that caught my attention was the fact that this was after school. I mean, it wasn't even a Bible as Literature appreciation class or something like that, but it was an after-school event. I don't know about down in Virginia where you are, but here in western Pennsylvania, we see that it's quite common for people who are starting a new church or a new congregation to, for a year or so, sometimes even longer, rent a space in a school on a Sunday to hold services. And I don't know whether that happens in Virginia or not, but this would seem to be very, very similar to that. It's after school, after all classes are over, right?
Exactly, and the only thing, the issue that people come against and that the lawsuit's based on is that he's the principal of the school, so he has influence over the students that someone else might not have.
I see.
And, of course, it's, you know, it's put out there to the actual public school students. Mm-hmm. Now, even with that said, like, it is completely legal, but what's happening in our landscape today, and I wrote this book a year ago during the elections, what's happening today is that people are walking away from their rights out of fear. And they have the Constitution says that we have freedom of religion, not freedom from religion. So, you know, when a principal wants to do something like this after school that's a voluntary basis, there should be no issue. But the precedent, and even truly, you know, the precedent in our current place that we're at in this culture and in our country doesn't support a man like Wendell Quinn being able to do this for his students. And, you know, he looks at his job description, and it says that he must do everything in his power for the betterment of the students. And that's all he's trying to do.
You mentioned earlier, we're not giving away everything in the novel, folks. That would ruin the fun. But you mentioned that the principal, the high school principal, Wendell Quinn, has already lost the love of his life. Was that a wife or a girlfriend, or who was that?
Right. He lost the love of his life in a car accident.
Oh,
so the
okay,
wife
so.
Of his, you know, youth that he has spent 20 years with, and he has four children with. She was killed several years ago, so that's like 3-4 years later. And now Wendell is starting to forge a friendship with one of the teachers, Alicia Harris. And the problem with Alicia, she's got an anxiety disorder, which is very common today. People who hang out, you know, on the news pages and just take in way too much information. And their faith, if they even have faith, gets drowned out by the noise of darkness and trouble that's in our land, you know, today. So those people can be walking around with anxiety. It happens to many people. It happens to young people that they get panic attacks and physically can't take the stress of an anxious moment. And that's where Alicia is. So she has to walk away from him now also. It's a second loss to him because he's standing up for what he believes in and trying to help these students by introducing them to the Lord.
Luke Baxter, is he a character from one of your earlier Baxter family novels? He's been a lawyer who surfaced previously.
He has. We've gotten to see, if you've read about the Baxters from the beginning, you know, back, 15 years ago when I wrote the first Baxter book was, the book's called Redemption, and Luke was just just barely out of high school. So we've been able to watch Luke grow up and take his place in the work world of wanting to be a lawyer. And we've seen him, you know, pay the price in some ways, struggling with his marriage at different times, and that's going to resurface again here, that sometimes he becomes driven to see a case through and at the expense of his family and his marriage. So that's, you know, it's a timely issue as well, that we have to remember where our importance lies. You know, I've heard it said that your calling is your family and your faith. Your gifting is what you're going to do in the workday, you know, in the world. So he has a gifting of being a lawyer, but his calling is his family. And he's got to be reminded of that in this story.
Does he focus on religious freedom cases, this lawyer, Luke Baxter?
Initially, he was a lawyer for entertainment law, and that introduced some different interesting storylines back in the day. But now, yes, now he's focusing on religious freedom cases. And, you know, a friend of mine, Todd Starnes, is a columnist for Fox News, and every day or so, he's writing about a real story, much like what I have written about in my book In This Moment. And so this is a very, you know, this we need a lot of lawyers who will step forward and say, wait a minute, this is off base, and these people have a right to have the freedom of religion. And Luke has become one of those.
Let's take a quick break here, listeners. We have a few more minutes, fortunately, that we're able to talk with author Karen Kingsbury, and we'll pick up our conversation with her. You're on It's Your Turn on WISR right after this break. One of our sponsors on the program today, the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store. Boy, if you're cleaning up in advance of the holidays, please consider donating unwanted items to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store. They'll sell those items at a price some people might not be able to afford. And the best part is all of the proceeds from the operation of the thrift store help to fund the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank and their client aid program. And you were going to throw that stuff away anyway, right? Right? So please think about it. Their thrift store is located in the Greater Butler Mart, Route 8 South. Plenty of free parking right at the door. They're open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. They like to say, we stand the tallest when we stoop to help others. It's a wonderful thought. Society of St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store in Butler and the Greater Butler Mart.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about prearrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler.
Welcome back. If you're joining us a little bit late on this segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR, that's grand. My name is Dave Malarkey. Our guest is Karen Kingsbury, a New York Times best-selling author. And we're talking about her latest book. The title is In This Moment, and it's just recently published. And we say recently, we mean that. When did you start writing? I mean, if you've knocked out some 30 of these Baxter family novels, you must have been writing for a long time, either that or you're one of the most prolific writers we've ever seen, Karen.
Well, you know, I've been writing since I was five. I stapled some pages together and grabbed a crayon and wrote a book that mostly had entirely misspelled words in it. But that was the beginning, and, you know, ever since then I've just loved writing. So the Baxter's Mansion, being a published novelist, that's been for about 20 years now, and I started right out of college. That was a blessing that I got to write my first book so early, and it allowed me to stay home. So we raised a family, my husband and I. We've been married 30 years, and we've raised a family that the youngest of our six kids is now 20, and he is a student along with two of our other boys at Liberty University. So, you know, writing novels has been sort of what they've just known me to be doing. I've done that while I've raised the kids and my husband and I together. So I'm pretty prolific. I mean, it's true. Most years I have two published novels that come out, and this year will be, you know, no exception. I had Love Story back in the spring, and now having In This Moment.
Many of your novels are under development with the Hallmark Films and also as major motion pictures. Have any of them come to the big screen or the small screen as yet?
Yes, a few years ago on the big screen, like Dandelion Dust, it starred Mira Sorvino and Barry Pepper, two very talented and award-winning actors. So that was exciting, and more are under development for the big screen, which you know, we'll be letting readers know about that soon at my website, KarenKingsbury.com. But right now we're also doing a TV series with Roma Downey and Mark Burnett and MGM Studios on the Baxters. Mm. So it couldn't be more timely that people who say, now, I don't know this family, that's fine. They can absolutely start with my book In This Moment and get a taste for this family and then go, okay, I want to know more. Well, this TV series will be coming in the spring, so we're real excited.
One more question about your book that concerns Luke Baxter, who's the attorney who decides to take on the case of the high school principal, Wendell Quinn. You mentioned that Quinn has lost the love of his life because of this program. What about Luke Baxter, the attorney? Does he have problems in his family life because he's decided to take this controversial case?
Luke does. He experiences just a passion to try to see Wendell Quinn's case through and to win it, to be able to, you know, create a moment in time where faith and freedom of religion is defended. As a result, he starts working later and later into the night, and it really takes a toll on his marriage and his family. And it's a chance to be reminded, whatever part you're playing right now in the cultural landscape, to be reminded to take a stand and to be a light. My friend Roma Downey, she's always saying, don't curse the darkness. And the darkness is going to be there. But you can light one candle right where you are, and you can make a difference, and that will be what dispels the darkness.
I'd like to meet her someday. I've thought about that for a couple of years. Is she as nice as I think she is?
She is so sweet. I mean, this woman is so kind, and it was a few years ago that I got a call from her personally. And she just had that beautiful Irish, you know, brogue and a little bit of a lilt in her voice. And she said, Karen, I'm just in love with the Baxter family, and I'm calling to ask your blessing that I might develop them into a television series. And it was just the beginning of this beautiful adventure, but also friendship. She's an amazing woman.
You, early in your life now, your real life, family life, because of your father's occupation, you moved around. You've lived in a lot of different places around the country. Do you think that helped you later in life when you became a writer?
You know what? I think it really did. And the reason is I didn't get to keep friends very long, so I had to make imaginary friends on my characters. Mm. So, you know, when I sit down and write a book, I really have to go kind of deeply into that world. And I just finished writing a book that will be out next year at this time. And when I do that, I'm a pretty social, I'm very outgoing, extroverted, which is really not the way most novelists are. And so when I get into my stories, those characters become my friends. I think that happened early on when I realized that I couldn't count on the people sitting next to me in class, but I could count on the people sitting around my dinner table and the characters in my stories.
Hmm. There's a wonderful story. I read it on your website. I hope you will feel free to share it with us. You had already mentioned that you started to write, with a crayon and a stapler when you were just a little kid. But you reached a point in your life, I believe it was toward the beginning of your undergraduate career, where you decided, I'm sick of writing. I don't think I'm going to do this after all. But there was an incident in one of your English classes with a professor. Can you share that story with our listeners?
Absolutely. In fact, I was thinking at that point I would not be a writer. I was going to be a lawyer. So now I can write about them. But at that point, I thought, you know, that'll be my goal. I'm going to be become an attorney and, you know, fight the bad guys and get them put away in prison. And I decided to take a Journalism 100 class to meet an English credit. And I'm in this big auditorium class, couple hundred students. We're about 3 weeks into the semester. And I've written a few short stories and turned them in. And right near the end of the class, a professor, he was a former reporter himself, and he had just a gruff kind of attitude about him. And he said, "By the way, Karen Kingsbury, I need you to come up and talk to me after class." And I just kind of slumped down in my chair like, what did I do wrong? I must have written terribly. I can't imagine how I would have gained his attention in such a bad way. So class ended. I went up to the front of the class, kind of slow steps, you know, and I said, "Hi, I'm Karen Kingsbury." And he looked at me, he lowered his little, you know, glasses on the end of his nose, and he looked over the glasses at me, and he said, "I have two things for you." And I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "First, you are never going to stop writing. Uh-huh. And second, I want you to report to my office tomorrow morning. You are on staff of our newspaper." And like that, it was like, oh, okay, I guess I'm a writer.
One of those life-changing moments. You never know when they're going to happen, huh?
That's so true. And the power that a teacher, a professor, you know, a principal has, and even moments like that that helped inspire my book in this moment that just released. I love being able to encourage people to make a difference where they are planted.
One final question. You've lived, you've practiced what you've preached. I know you mentioned earlier you and your husband have six kids, three of whom were adopted from Haiti. Can you tell us the story about that? Was that after one of those disasters down there? How did that all come about, Karen?
You know, it was actually before the disasters. What happened was we had a personal disaster in our own family. Mm-hmm. Our youngest son, Austin, was born with a heart defect, and he nearly died. So he had emergency heart surgery, open heart surgery with blood transfusions and all sorts of issues that went on, and that was when he was 3 weeks old. And we had thought we might have another child, but after that, the doctor said, you know, any other children you have will have this type of heart defect or worse. So we took that as just a sign from God that, all right, you know, if we have three biological children, we're going to step aside from that, and we're going to look at adoption. So we still thought we had room in our hearts and in our home for more children, and that led us to this Christian orphanage in Haiti and this little boy, Emmanuel Jean, about 4 years old at the time. We began the process, and the Lord provided the means for us to be able to pay for the adoptions of more kids. And we thought, you know, these kids are a different color, different country, so maybe if we had more than one, they would feel more comfortable. And so we began to look further at this orphanage, and we ended up having, you know, Emmanuel Jean, we call him EJ, and Sean. And when I went to Haiti to pick up EJ and Sean, there was a third little boy that they all hung out with named Josh. It was Josue, and so Josh came up to me and said, "Hi, Mommy, I love you." So I called my husband, and he said, "Well, two, three, you know, we can do this." And over the course of the next 6 months, Josh joined us also. So we doubled our kid number. We went from three children to six overnight, pretty much. And, you know, with a lot of laughter and prayer and just real hands-on, you know, moments with the kids, it took no time. 3-4 months, they were speaking English, and our story, our adoption story, is really very beautiful. We're very blessed that, you know, today I don't think anyone can remember when we didn't have all of the kids.
Well, I thought maybe our listeners, especially ones who have read some of your books, might like to know a little bit more about your background. That's a great story. She is Karen Kingsbury, a prolific author, especially of Baxter family novels, and the latest just out is called In This Moment. And you mentioned a website before we wrap up here. Karen, can you give that again for us? Are your books available there or what?
Yes, you can find out all the places to order it online or in person, and that's at KarenKingsbury.com, and check out my events as well.
Nice to talk with you, Karen. Thanks for joining us today. Thanks.
Thank you. We'll do it again. Okay. Bye-bye.
Karen Kingsbury, the queen of inspirational novelists. That's according to Time magazine. Hey, coming up, our final guest on the program today, we're going to chat for a few minutes with a clergyman. He's a minister from England. We found out that he was passing through the area. He's actually going to be speaking tonight. And I thought, wow, it's great. Love to talk to people who are visitors who are passing through town, especially from other countries. So we'll talk a little bit in just a couple of minutes here with the Reverend Dennis Pethers. He'll be chatting with us on the next segment, the final segment of the It's Your Turn program here for this Wednesday. We start the second week of November today. Hard to believe, huh? Yeah. Hey, one of our sponsors on the It's Your Turn program today is Hearing Aid Service by Kelly. If there's someone in your household who's beginning to have trouble hearing, and you may notice it, they may want the TV turned up much louder than anyone else can stand in the house, right? Or maybe they have a hard time picking up conversation at the dinner table. Maybe it's you. Maybe you're noticing that yourself. Maybe you want to talk to Kelly, the hearing aid lady. Hearing Aid Service by Kelly. So what will you get? Well, first of all, maybe most important, personalized one-on-one care. One-on-one care. Kelly is not interested in selling you the highest priced hearing aid. She's interested in helping you. And she'll take the time, because it's personalized one-on-one care, she'll take the time to make sure that everything is just the way you want it, that you may be able to hear better and that it'll be comfortable, too. Some hearing aids aren't very comfortable. And don't forget, because there's no overhead, you're likely to save thousands of dollars. Complimentary consultation will get you started. So many people who have made the change or consulted with Kelly are just so very happy that they've done so. Why not call the hearing aid lady? What do you have to lose? Hearing Aid Service by Kelly. Phone number 724-756-4327. 724-756-4327. We're pleased to have a special guest speaking with us for a few minutes here on the It's Your Turn program today. We're glad we're able to line him up because his schedule is pretty tight, and he's from England, so it's not like, we can say schedule somebody from Shikora next week because he's not going to be here. His name is Reverend Dennis Pethers, and he's here at the behest. Well, he's actually on a tour from North America, and he's going to be speaking tonight after getting an invitation from Oak Hills Christian Church. So let's first of all say hello to Reverend Dennis Pethers. Nice to meet you, sir. Nice to have you here.
You too. It's great to meet you. It's great to be here.
You're in the midst of a tour across different parts of America?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I'm getting towards the end now, so soon going back to England, which I'm looking forward to. Mm-hmm. Started out in Florida, then I was in Texas and Arizona, Mexico.
Wow.
Kentucky, Tennessee, Ohio. But now I'm here, the best.
That's a long trip. We want to say hello as well to Reverend Ashley Stansfeld, who we first met, Ashley, less than a year ago, was it not?
It was about that, yeah, yeah. I just come for a little 11 weeks kind of tour around here. Just seeing, I've had a call to come here, and call ended up being in Butler, and they asked me to be their pastor, evangelist, if you will, at Oak Hills Christian Church. So here I am.
So you are now the pastor evangelist there.
Pastor evangelist.
Well, Oak Hills Christian Church is in Oak Hills, which for our listeners, it's in the area near Butler County Community College, right?
It's just up the road, yeah. There's not many people know where it is, so we've employed someone to do PR just to put the name of the church out there. We've got a whole lot of blue signs out there saying free pancakes, and people are starting to see them. And the church is, in 6 months, is kind of about doubled in size. It's doing really well, just more and more people turning up.
The address is 100 Township Line Road.
That's
for
correct.
People who
yeah.
are
yeah, just off
familiar
Old Plank.
With that area. Yeah. Yeah. But most folks, would, if they hear Oak Hills, they know that that's the area near Butler County Community College. So, Reverend Pethers is speaking tonight. Where is he going to be speaking?
He's going to speak at Oak Hills Church in the main sanctuary there. Mm-hmm. We're really looking forward to it. We've tried to meet up over the last few years. We've never met before, and all of a sudden we end up meeting in Pittsburgh, and so we're delighted to have him here. He's quite a catch.
One would think, Birmingham, Liverpool might be a place where you would meet up. Who would believe it would be Butler, Pennsylvania?
Completely. Yeah, yeah. That's what we tried to do. We tried to meet in Manchester, but it ended up being Pittsburgh and Butler.
Reverend Peddlers, you've entitled your American tour The Rooftop.
The Rooftop.
Can you tell us a little bit about that and what that means?
Yeah, I can. Well, it's the ministry that I head up. It's a global ministry. We do it all over the world. I've just been in Africa and Europe, and now I'm here in the United States. It's called The Rooftop because it's all based on a moment in the Bible when Peter went to a rooftop to pray, and his entire perspective changed. Before then, he thought the gospel was just for people like him, people that believe what he believed and followed the traditions he followed. Mm-hmm. But he had a vision which helped him to see that God loves everybody. God's love is for all people everywhere. It doesn't matter what they've done, who they are, what they're like. God loves them passionately. So The Rooftop is a ministry that's trying to help churches all across the world to join Jesus in his mission, which is to reach the people that often we don't even like that much, if we're honest in church. But Jesus loves them, and he came to them, and he went to them, and he healed them, and he told them God loved them, and he restored them. And so The Rooftop's a ministry that's seeking to help churches to join Jesus in that mission, to go beyond the walls of the church, which we built. The people outside didn't build them, we built them. And to recognize that the gospel isn't just something we celebrate once a week behind the walls of church, but the gospel is a transforming, powerful message that people need to hear, because everybody needs to hear that God loves them and to understand that what Jesus did, he did for them. So that's why we call it The Rooftop.
How long has the Rooftop ministry been established, Reverend Peddlers?
Well, it began in the United States. Although I'm from Britain and we now do it all over the world, it actually began here in Virginia. About 2012 is when it first began. I was in a hotel room thinking, God, how could we reach people that just don't even want to come to church anymore? And I really felt that he led me to that passage in Acts 10 in the Bible where Peter went to a rooftop to pray. And as I read it over and over again and saw how Peter's perspective changed, it struck me the church needs to have that perspective change, to look at everybody and anybody and say, how do we connect with them and help them to see God loves them? So it's been going for around 6 or 7 years, I guess, now. About 6 years, I think it's been going. And it's, as I say, it's spreading to many parts of the world.
Do you have details, Reverend Ashley Stansfield? What time is the program tonight?
We start at 7 o'clock, so 7 o'clock, Oak Hills Church, there, just off Old Plank, on Township Line Road. It starts at 7. It will last till about 8:30. Then we're just having folk have coffee and the usual things afterwards. So everybody's welcome.
Reverend Dennis Peddlers is the founder of The Rooftop. Are there others who are spreading this message that you're taking to different parts of the world?
Yes, there are. We have, in each country we work, we have a pioneer who's making the ministry happen. So in the United States, we have a man called John Whaley. He lives in North Carolina, near Charlotte, and then in Africa we have pioneers, and we're just about to have pioneers in Europe and also in Latin America. So that's the way we do it. So I'm called the International Pioneer, which sounds very grand, but I guess it's true. I do travel the world a lot, and then we have national pioneers that we place in each country.
I'm interested as how you would get started. You had this calling about six years ago, but, you know, that's one thing, to start going to Africa. I mean, how did you start going to Africa? I mean, did you have a contact there? Did you?
Well, I've been doing this kind of thing for a long time. Before that, I ran another ministry. I have got a lot of contacts around the world. But I hope this makes sense to people when I say this. I actually believe that God is already involved in mission, and he invites us to join him in it. So I can't tell you how many times I've gone to places and God's just clearly opened the door, and I've met people who have... A number of times I've actually heard this said to me, we were praying yesterday about the kind of thing you're now telling us, and this is, we believe God has actually made this happen. And I've heard that over and over again. So it's kind of odd, really, the way that God has just opened the whole thing up. But since I became a Christian, I mean, I wasn't brought up in a Christian home or anything, and since I became a Christian at 19 years of age, which was quite a few years ago now, I've always seen that God is at work. I've never felt I do things for God. I've always felt I do things with God, that he just opens it up. And if you actually sat and planned it all out, you'd say, this is a crazy idea, but God's doing it in just ways that really only he could do. And so I see it like even that all of the links now into Latin America and people I've met with and spoken with there, and it just opens and opens and opens, and then God connects me with people that can lead the ministry. So honestly, it is a God thing. That's the only way I can explain it.
Will you speak generally this evening about the Rooftop ministry, some of the ideas you've shared with us, or do you have a specific topic in mind that you'll be exploring tonight?
What I want to talk about tonight really is what it means to join Jesus in his mission. I'll tell stories because I think stories really connect with people. And if people come tonight who are believers, Christian believers, I hope it will encourage them and challenge them. But I'd love anybody to come, even if people don't yet know if they believe in Jesus or not. Because I want them to hear, too, that Jesus desperately loves them. And actually, whatever they've done, whatever it is, or whatever they're doing, that doesn't put them outside of being received by God into what he wants them to do and what he wants to do in their lives. I think we can all join Jesus in his mission. We just have to take steps towards it. For some people who have already made that decision, it's a step further into it. For others, it may be their first step towards it, but whoever, everybody's welcome.
Are you a native of England, Reverend Pethers?
I am a native of England, yes, a proud...
What part?
I live just to the east side of London, and I live in a county called Essex. Mm-hmm. And the nearest city to me, the big city, is called Chelmsford, which is very famous for something. I think it's a great claim to fame. Chelmsford is the birthplace of radio. It's where radio was invented by Marconi Engineering. As you drive into it, it says, "Welcome to Chelmsford, the birthplace of radio."
Wow. Is it close to London, of London?
30 miles.
Oh, not far at all.
I can be in central London in 45 minutes. Yeah.
Now, is that far enough away to qualify as being East Anglia?
Yeah, it is East Anglia. That's exactly what it is, yeah. Yeah, so it becomes that. It's a bit of a blurred line, but London becomes East Anglia. Mm-hmm. And so I'm kind of in the middle of that blur.
So you would be north of the Thames then, right?
North of the Thames, yeah, just to the east side of London. If you carry on going London to where I live and keep on, you end up in Holland. But there's an ocean in the way.
A little bit of a conversation here with the Reverend Ashley Stansfield. You are the pastor evangelist at Oak Hills Christian.
That's correct, yes.
Tell us a little bit about what that term means.
Well, they wanted to bring the church into the 21st century. Churches sometimes can get stuck in a rut and do things in a certain way. And just step by step, just one thing after another, just trying to do worship in a kind of more kind of modern way. Just to engage people. For instance, tonight, we'll start up at 7 o'clock with just some worship. That'll probably last half an hour. Where we just gently sit and just wait on God. And God just starts to do things amongst people. People have been healed just by being sat there. We want it to be, like Dennis is saying, just about us seeking God and, you know, what God wants to do amongst us as we're in the congregation. And then Dennis will stand up and speak about similar things, about joining God in his mission. But at my claim to fame, Dennis is from the south, and I'm from the north, and they're really quite different in England. I'm from Manchester, and that's really the centre of where the Industrial Revolution kicked off in big Manchester, just a little bit farther north.
It's always amazing to me, even though I know so many of our towns and cities here have English antecedents, when you hear another one, and you know, there's a Manchester section of Pittsburgh,
there
which
you
is,
go.
Of course, named after, heck, we have a Newcastle 25 miles from
That's
here.
Right. Yeah.
The list just goes on and on and on. We like to, and we, boy, I'm glad we're able to, almost had to throw this interview together at the last minute because I realized that Reverend Pethers was going to be heading back to England soon. I'm glad we were able to do it. We had to kind of truncate a bit here to get it on today, but that's one of the things we like to do when we find, especially when we find visitors to our area from other parts of the world. We love to have them stop in and chat for a while. So we appreciate Reverend Dennis Pethers being able to talk with you for a few minutes here today.
Thank you so much. It's been great. Thank you.
I'll be speaking tonight at 7 o'clock at Oak Hills Christian, and Godspeed on your trip back to England soon.
Thank you. God bless you. Thanks so much.
Yes, and Reverend Stansfield, good to see you again. Nice to talk with you.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here. Sure.
Midday lottery numbers for you today. The pick 2 is 10, 10, 10. The pick 3 is 212. The pick 4, 0227. Pick 5, 97767. Wild ball for each of those is 7. The treasure hunt is 3, 10, 19, 26, and 27. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt is $10,000.
Thank our guests who visited with us on the It's Your Turn program today. Certainly a big tip of the cap to Roy Ramone, Butler County's Veteran of the Year, who will be honored at festivities this coming weekend, Veterans Day weekend. He'll have a place of honor in the parade, and he'll also be honored at a late luncheon on Saturday. Roy Ramone. Speaking of the parade, thanks to John Cyprian, Director of Veterans Services for Butler County, who filled us in on the parade time and all of that sort of thing. It's going to be a very busy Saturday, with Veterans Day actually falling on a weekend this year on a Saturday. And it was also nice to chat with Karen Kingsbury, known as the Queen of the Inspirational Novelists. That's what Time Magazine calls her anyway. And, of course, Dennis Pithers, who visited with us here on a final segment of the program today. A visitor from England, from across the pond in England. We have lots of stuff left during the week, especially on Friday when we're going to have some Veterans Day-related activities. We have other stuff for you as well. On It's Your Turn for the rest of this week. I'm Dave Moore.